I want to share with you today something that might surprise you, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't walk out after I say this. So I'm going to tell you a hidush that might change your life, but you may not understand it at first. Optimism is the enemy of mankind. I'm going to say it again. You heard of optimism? Optimism is a person who sees the good ahead of when the good happens. An optimistic person is able to see success before success comes. Optimism is the enemy of mankind. Probably is very surprising to hear that. I think your whole life you've been hearing how optimism is great. Optimism is the way to live life. You're supposed to be optimistic in everything that you do. You get a new job, optimistic. You go to school, optimistic. You get married, optimistic. You have a child, optimistic. Optimism is something that we've been taught since we were little that is such a great value. And here I'm coming today and I'm telling you that optimism is the enemy of mankind. How could that be? What am I saying? So like everything in life, even good things in life, like optimism, yes, optimism is a good thing, but like many good things in life, if you don't know how to use it, it can really hurt you in a very bad way. Hashem gives us a world where we choose how to use the tools that He gives us. But when we don't know how to use them, we end up hurting ourselves with the same thing He gave us to help us. So many things are like that. Take money as an example. Money is the best example. There's no greater tool than money to be able to support your family, to help humanity, to help your community, to build yeshivot, to build institutions, to help others. Money is so powerful. But money has probably caused more damage to people's lives than anything else on this planet. Can money be something that damages people's lives? Of course it does. Just look on the streets, you'll see it all the time. How many families have been destroyed because of money? How many partnerships have been destroyed because of money? How many brothers and sisters don't talk to each other because of money? How many marriages have been destroyed because of money? How many children have been destroyed because they grew up in money? Maybe they were spoiled and they don't really know how to live life normally. They don't know how to be responsible. Maybe they feel unappreciative of anything because they had so much and they feel they're entitled. Money has destroyed people, probably more than anything else. So money's so bad. No, money is so good. But it all depends how you use it. There's nothing in life that's absolutely good. Even Torah, Hazal tell us, even Torah, if you can imagine, even Torah, Hazal say, if you don't know what you're doing with Torah and you don't learn it the right way, you could actually take Torah and its wisdom and misuse it to hurt people. You could learn the wisdom of the Torah and figure out how to take advantage in a negative way. So even the perfect Torah can be misused. Optimism is a beautiful thing, to live with optimism. But if you don't know what you're doing, it can become your enemy. It can destroy so much of things that you had optimism for. And if you ask me to explain myself, because probably you don't know what I'm saying, and I understand that, could you please tell me when optimism is great and when optimism is terrible? So I'm going to give you a formula. If optimism follows worry, and effort in that order, then optimism is beautiful. And optimism could actually help you. But when optimism comes standalone, optimism will be detrimental to your success. I'll explain more. I understand that maybe it's not so clear. But you know what? Important concepts in life, and when you talk in depth about certain things, and it's not supposed to be clear. It's supposed to be like, what? What's going on? And then as you start working through it, and then hopefully by the end of this class, you'll turn around and say, oh, that was so obvious. How did I not know that? That's the goal. When optimism comes first, it's destructive. Optimism has its place after worry and effort. Worry? I thought worrying is not good. And now I'm even making it part of the success. Let me give you an example of how optimism could destroy a person in an area in life. How many people that are getting married are rushing to get advice about their marriage, are reading up books about their marriage? Women, maybe some, but I could tell you men, almost none. Almost none. And if they had to go to a class, it's because someone forced them. Like the rabbi threatened them, if you don't go to a class, you can't get married. So they go. How many mothers and fathers had a child for the first time in their life and were rushing to go sign up for classes about raising a child, buying books and reading through all the different advice, calling their mother frantic, how do I raise this child? How many parents who found that 6-pounder in their crib for the first time were rushing to get help and how to raise a successful, responsible, happy, God-fearing child? Almost none. Even when people read books on these subjects, it's usually after they struggled with something. Very rarely do married couples learn about their future. Very rarely do mothers or fathers learn about their children's upbringing. And if you would ask a person getting married, so tell me, right now you're getting married, what is it that you want for your marriage for the next 100 years? Everybody will say, what do you mean? I want my marriage to be not good, not great, want it to be the best. Who gets married to have a less than best marriage? Marriage could be a Gan Eden. Always a continuous Gan Eden. Who wants anything less than a continuous Gan Eden? Nobody I ever met. Every person on their wedding day has dreams of a life that is so filled with happiness and pleasure through their marriage. In reality, how many people who got married ended up getting shocked that it wasn't what they thought? There are different levels. If we had to grade marriage, 0 being a disaster and 10 being the best, I think you'll find very few 10s. Not very common to find a 10 marriage, is very few. Probably you don't know that many people that have a 10. There's a lot of zeros. That's the ones that end up not staying together. There are plenty of ones and twos. And I think people will be very satisfied today with fives. Decent. Decent marriage. Decent. We don't fight too much. We only fight on the holidays. Not too much. It's not that often. It's decent. I think people will be actually very happy and they say they had a great marriage because it's decent. We have some good times. We have some, okay, it's decent. We're making it. When people have a 50-year anniversary, it doesn't mean their 50 years were heavenly. They're just happy they survived 50 years. That's what the celebration usually is for. We made it. That's a 5. 6. To have an awesome, awesome marriage? To have a 10, an 8, a 9? Very, very uncommon. I'm not talking about the world at large. That's a disaster. But even in our own circles, things aren't, and I think we're mature enough to know that by now. Maybe when we were little, we thought we didn't know anything. But today you start, you learn. The Gan Eden dream of the wedding day doesn't materialize. How come? Why? So there probably are a number of reasons, but I can tell you one of the biggest culprits is optimism. You know why nobody's rushing to prepare themselves for marriage? And by the way, the preparation for marriage starts way before marriage. It starts in school. How many high school students are preparing for marriage? Almost none. They wouldn't even realize if you told them, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. What does marriage have to do with school? What are you saying? Very few people before marriage prepare for marriage. And almost none prepare even as they get married. Why? Don't you know the statistics? Don't you know that marriage it's not so hard to get married, by the way, even though it may seem like. It's much harder to get married and have a great marriage. So don't you know what's going on out there? Didn't you grow up in a home that had some difficulty? Didn't you see other people's homes? Don't you know what's being said all the time? And you just got married. Aren't you worried? Aren't you worried that you're not going to succeed? Aren't you worried that you're going to mess up like everybody else before you? Why are you not worried? And if you tell me worried, I thought it's not good to be worried. That's a mistake. Worrying is one of the most powerful tools that a human has on this planet. Worrying could be detrimental to your health. Here's another item. If you don't know how to use it, it could destroy you. But if you don't use it, you're missing out on something very important. Worrying makes you afraid. Makes you afraid of failure. If I am worried that I'm not going to make money in my job, so I'm going to work harder because I'm worried. I don't want to fail. I'm going to a business meeting. I'm worried that it may not go so well. So I stay up preparing. I go and do my work in the best way because I'm worried I'm not going to get the order. It makes me stronger. Oh, I have my medical test tomorrow to be a doctor. I've been studying for 10 years. I'm worried I may not make it. I might fail. So for a month, I study nonstop. I never thought I could be up so many hours a day. I never thought I had that kind of energy. Usually I need like 8 hours. I'm going on 3 hours. How do I do that? Because I'm worried. I don't want to fail. There is a worry that is horrible. You have to know always the difference between great worry and terrible worry. Terrible worry is when you worry about things that you don't control. Let's say I worry about the weather tomorrow. My wedding is tomorrow. It's outdoors. And I'm very worried about the weather. That is detrimental to your health. Because you're worried about something that you can't fix. You cannot control. You can control getting a tent for your wedding. You can control other things, but you can't control the weather. So worrying about the weather is very frustrating because what worry does is it gives you power. It gives you energy. You're able to do things. If I'm able to run one block and then after a block, I can't breathe anymore. And if you ask me, could you go on? I say, I can't do it anymore. I can't breathe. But if God forbid, my son needed me 4 blocks away and I had to get there ASAP before, God forbid, something terrible happens to him. All of a sudden, I'm flying 4 blocks and I don't even stop. What I thought was impossible to do, all of a sudden, I'm able to do it. Why? Because I'm worried. When I worry about things that I can control, I could study better. I could work harder. Things that I can control and I worry about them, it makes me more powerful. I can do things that I never thought I could do. A mother who's worried about her child, she does things that in her wildest dreams, thank you. A mother does things that she never imagined she could do. She's got 3 kids here, 4 kids there, one's in the hospital, God forbid. One is doing has issues in school, one is having issues, and she's figuring it out. If you would have spoken to her before she was married, could you take care of one kid? It would be too much. She's dealing with 7. She's figuring it all out. How? Because she's worried about them. She wants to make sure they have their clothes, make sure they have their food, make sure they have their education, make sure they have their health. How do you do it? Answer is because you're worried. When you worry about something that's in your hands, it makes you powerful and able to do more than you ever thought you could do. When you worry about things that you don't control, I'm worried I might get sick. I'm worried about the results. I'm worried about what they're going to say. I'm worried. When you worry about things You go on a date. Should you worry? Should you not worry? Should you worry? Should you not worry? You better be worried. You should worry. Absolutely. You should worry that you're going to mess up. You should worry to look good, to give the best representation of you. You should look nice, maybe prepare, maybe sleep a little before your date so you come in well rested, because you want to give the best representation of who you are. Rest, look nice, and maybe prepare what you want to talk about so that it will be a smooth conversation with someone that you never met before. You should worry that you're going to make sure that the best you is going to show up to that date. This might be someone important for you. Should you worry if he's going to like you? That's not in your hands. You have to know where to cut worry. It's not so easy. Worry is something that you can't do without when it's needed, and you should never touch when it's not. And you have to know where to slice that line. You have to worry about the date so much in what you could do. But the minute it goes into what they're going to do and what's going to happen, you're going to have to stop right there. Because once you go into that zone, you're in trouble. Because now you're worrying about something you can't do anything about. And all that energy that you're given when you worry becomes negative energy, because you can't do anything with it. It just sits. There's nothing you could do about what they're going to say. Going to a business meeting, should I worry? Yes, of course you should worry. Do you have the best presentation? Are you going to have the best prices? Do you know what you're talking about? Yes, worry. Come in prepared. Are they going to give me the order? That you can't worry about. That's going to make your life miserable. You can't worry about what they're going to give you. You can't worry about that part. It's not in your hands. So interesting, the same date, there's worry and not worry. The same meeting, there's worry and not worry. And it's like that in everything in life. Should you worry about your kids? Yeah, of course. Worry about what you're going to do. But should you worry about things that are not in your hands? Of course not. You have to know where to cut it. If you cut in the wrong place, either too early or too late, you're messing up something. Yes, it's not so easy to live life successfully. You have to know how to use and utilize all these tools that the Creator gave us. Hashem gave us unbelievable tools to live a great life, but we have to know how to use them. You can't just take a knife and cut and imagine it's going to be good. It depends what you're cutting. So I ask you, why is someone getting married not worried about their future? That worry about, wait, is this marriage going to be a 10? I'm worried about that. I'm worried to the extent that I need to do the best I can to make it a 10. Am I doing that? You would think every couple that gets married should be super worried about that. Especially when they hear and they see. Why are they not worried? If they would be worried, they would put in a much greater effort in refining themselves, in talking the right way, in acting the right way. There's so many things about making a marriage great that they know nothing about. I mean, they haven't been married ever, so it makes sense. They know nothing about it. There's so much to learn. There's so much to prepare for. There's so much to improve. Just walking in through the door, just alone, just that alone, just how do you walk into your house? That's a huge item that nobody would ever think about. But it's tremendously life-changing how to walk into your home. And by the way, it doesn't start when you're married. That's why you're given a few years before marriage as a prep. Unfortunately, people spend their single years wasted. Those single years, there's a reason why God didn't make us married from the get-go. Because we need years to prepare for marriage. As a brother, as a sister, you're preparing for marriage. As a daughter, you're preparing for marriage. As a friend, you're preparing for marriage. Because marriage is all of that. How do you walk into your house is a tremendous asset, or the opposite. Do you walk in energized? Do you walk in ready to lift the people in the house? Do you see your brother and lift them up? Do you compliment your sister? Are you bringing in awe, light to the people in that house? Are you making them stronger? Are you making them happier? Or are you walking in looking for your couch? Or going straight to your room and noticing nobody? Not in the mood. I just want to relax. Nobody could blame you. It's your house. No one's going to be upset with you. I understand. It's your house. In your house, you could do whatever you want. You could whine. You can cry. You can complain. It's your house. Nobody would be shocked if you did that in your house. But I will tell you now, that's not going to make your house a 10. That I could promise you. A mother that walks into a house, just the first 5, 10, 15 seconds, first 59 seconds, if she walks in with a strength of positive, with a simcha in her heart and a smile on her face and words that uplift the people in the house, just for a minute, changes a whole trajectory of a home. A mother that walks into the house, oh, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. Nobody can blame her. But it's the wrong strategy. You're taking people in the house that need a mother that's powerful, an eshet chayil, they need someone strong, someone who's looking forward to life, someone who appreciates life and the opportunities of life. And they're looking for that strength. And here she is, not giving them what they need. First, you practice at home with your brother and your sister. You practice with your friend and your mother. You walk into the house. Mom, how was your day? I missed you today. Wow, the food you made is so good. How do you always think of exactly what I want? The first few years of life are practice runs, preparing for a great challenge called marriage. Unfortunately, young people waste that opportunity. And they use their teenage years to be upset, to be hurt, to feel people are coming against them. Can't talk to your mother, can't talk to your father. They ask you how you're doing, you start blowing up. You run to your room, you don't notice your brothers, you don't notice your sisters. You're not the light in your home that you're supposed to be. And by the way, it's not hard work. All it takes is the first minute or two. After that, go relax. But when you come in, bring a tremendous light with you into your home. That takes work. It takes learning. It takes effort. It's not something beyond that nobody could, no one could say, oh, I can't do that, it's too much for me. It's a minute, 2 minutes. But it's 2 minutes that changes your whole life. And will change your whole marriage. And will change your children. And you'll say, well, I didn't know that. Of course you didn't know that. Because you're not worried. You're not worried about your future. If you're not worried, you're not putting in enough effort to learn about what you need to do and to work at it. If you would worry, you would work harder and you would see much greater results. So I ask you, why are you not worried? Why is the 15-year-old not worried? Why is the 17-year-old not worried? You got married, you're still not worried. You're still not worried. How could you not be worried? Why aren't you worried? Why are you not running to get advice? Why? Why are you not learning every book that you can learn from? You know why you're not worried? Because you're optimistic. When you're optimistic before you're worried, it gives you this feeling of like, of course it's going to be good. Like, why wouldn't it be good? I mean, look, I'm so happy today. I just got married. I'm doing great. Why would that ever change? Of course, optimism means you see success before it happens. Is that a good thing? Not in this case, it's not. If you see your marriage successful before it is, you're in big trouble. Because what you see is not reality. You're seeing something that's not real. It's based on feelings and not something based in reality. You just imagine your marriage is going to be a 10. But it's not. It never is. Unless you worry first. If you use the right order, worry, effort, then optimism, that's beautiful. After you worry and put in the effort and do your best to put your best foot forward in whatever you do. I gave marriage as an example. So many other examples. Raising a child. Every child sitting in the crib. A mother thinks, this kid is an angel. Look at him. He's just a pure angel. He is going to be a great, responsible, happy, you name it. What else would a mother think about her child? What else would a father see in the crib? They're cute, they're sweet, they're innocent, gorgeous. Of course they're gonna be something big, of course. Optimism, no need to learn anything about it because I already see the success, I see it already. You see the success before you're worried? Detrimental, destructive to whatever you're doing. Go into a business. And you're optimistic. Of course it's going to be great. Detrimental. You got to worry first. Worry enough to work hard. And to put everything you have to make it successful. After you feel good about that, you could say I'm optimistic about the results. Let's start again. Optimism is the enemy of mankind. It's because of optimism that so many marriages are not where they're supposed to be. And so many families are not where they're supposed to be. And so many children are not raised and don't end up the way they're supposed to be. And so many people don't put in the right effort when they're dating or when they're going to a meeting and where they're going to work. Optimism. Be very careful from being optimistic before you worry. Learn how to worry. Learn where not to worry. Not worrying doesn't help you in life. And worrying in the wrong place certainly doesn't help you in life. But life isn't so simple. But life is beautiful. if you just learn the rules. But you got to learn. You got to worry enough about life that you learn and you work at it so that your optimism can be based on something. It shouldn't just be a dream or a thought. It should be something that you're making happen. I feel, as I say these words to you, I feel I'm giving you, and myself included, something so powerful. I just wish I had the time and the energy to be able to give you so many examples. I just gave you some major obvious ones, which, by the way, if the only things that we changed are those, if we became today a better brother and a better sister and a better child to our parents, if that alone changed today, because we know this is what's needed for success, even if I don't care about growing up in my parents' home, which we should, but let's say I don't care, but at least I care about my marriage. I care about my children. I care about that. Well, it's not going to happen unless you start. Start being the light of the people in your lives. Start showing them strength and confidence and security and appreciation. You do that when you're still young. If you say, oh, I'm already past that age, okay, say, you blew it. What can I tell you? But it's never too late. You start now and start teaching your children and start being there for others. It's never too early and it's never too late. Optimism, so powerful when it comes after worry and effort. Anything important in our lives should have that order. And there's no question with that order. Every person will rise to tremendous success in what they do.